Okay, so for completing the black hole morning, here are clues from pulsar timing about the presence of a relatively massive black hole in NGC 6752. Here are the people whose collaboration made this work possible at different stages. And here a summary of the known characteristics of this cluster. Four isolated millisecond pulsars and one binary millisecond pulsar were discovered in this cluster by Niki D'Amico et al. In year 2000. By using HST observations, Ferraro et al. Have recently largely improved the determinations of many parameters of this cluster. First, they got a new position for the center, here labeled by the red large cross. This position nicely agrees, by the way, with the barycenter of the nine more central X-ray sources detected by Chandra in this cluster, as you can see here. The blue star are the X-ray sources derived by the paper of Pulley, and these are the new center. The previous center, as already said before by Carl, was this, determined by Jurgoski 10 years ago, more or less. So, the second important result is a new that one is a new determination of the star density profile of this cluster. We can see that it cannot be fitted by a simple King model, whence a strong support to the hypothesis that this is indeed a core collapsing cluster. It is not common, but not an unprecedented profile for a cluster, this one. What is indeed strikingly surprising for this cluster are the outcomes from the pulsar timing. In effect, all the 5 millisecond pulsars in this cluster are surprising either for their location or for their acceleration. Starting with the locations, as here clearly appears, this cluster hosts simultaneously the two most displaced pulsars ever detected in a cluster, PSR-A, which is a binary pulsar, and PSR-C, which is a single one. PSR-A is at 3.3 half mass radii from the center, PSR-C at about 1.4. The three inner millisecond pulsars has a position which agrees with what expected on the basis of a mass segregation, but nevertheless they display unusual parameters as respects to their period derivative. In fact, all of them have a pretty high value of the ratio of the period derivative over the spin period, and the two of them display a negative period derivative, apparently spinning up. As already discussed a couple of days ago by Fernando and by Scott Rampson, that means that these 2 millisecond pulsars indeed are subjected to a strong effect of acceleration, probably due to the gravitational potential well of the globular cluster. Only in that case as these two terms are both always positive, only in that case you can get a negative value for p dot. Assuming so that indeed the acceleration due to the potential well of the cluster is the origin of this acceleration, you can infer a lower limit on the mass to light ratio, on the projected mass to light ratio in the central region of this cluster. I have no time for entering in details, but this is the equation you can use, derived from Finney, 92, once measured the ratio between the period derivative and the period itself and the surface brightness profile of the cluster, you can derive a lower limit on the mass to light ratio, the projected value of it in the center of the cluster. And so combining the new optical data from Ferraro et al. With the timing of the radio pulsars we have done for now 3 years at Parkes Radio Telescope, this plot shows that for accounting for the observed value of the acceleration of PSRE and PSRB, and using the new surface brightness profile with a proper value of the mass to light ratio, you have to adopt a lower limit for the mass to light ratio in the center, which is about 6. I want to stress here the point that even if the center of the cluster should be even a bit offset with respect to what determined by Ferraro, and let's say put it just here in between the two pulsars, anyway, just shifting this figure a bit, you can see that you cannot have less than 5 as a central value for the mass to light ratio in this cluster. And this is the highest value determined in such a way. For example, Finney in 93 got more or less a value of 3 for M15, and Paulo Freire more recently a value of about 1 for 47 TAC, using this identical approach. Exploring what is in the catalogs, you can see that the typical value of the mass to light ratio in the central regions of the core collapsed cluster goes from 2 up to 3.5 typically. So, mass to light ratio of 6 in the central 800ths of parsec in this cluster implies the presence of an extra amount, let's say so, of about 1,000 solar masses of a low luminosity matter within this radius from the center. Here I have listed the three probably most natural explanation for this extra amount of matter: white dwarf, neutron stars, and black hole. I would say that the neutron stars hypothesis must face with the profile in the inner 60 arc second of this cluster. Looking at that and deprojecting it, you can infer that the species dominating the dynamics in that inner region should more or less be the species which dominate also the light there, and so probably with a mass 0.6, 0.8 solar masses. In that case, having a very large number of neutron stars there could be questionable. On the contrary, white dwarf can fit that, and about 20% of their total number, roughly speaking, should have been sank in the center of the cluster during the cluster evolution for accounting for this number. Otherwise, you can adopt the hypothesis of a black hole. But looking again at the profile of the star count profile of the cluster, you cannot have a mass larger than about a few hundreds for this black hole. Otherwise, probably some feature in the profile itself would have appeared, and we don't see that. However, so far discussed the first peculiarity of this cluster, namely this millisecond pulsar inferred high mass to light ratio in the center of this cluster. The second peculiarity is the presence of two ejected objects in it, PSRA and PSRC. PSRA, in particular, is the one which allows the most constraining results about its origin, and Colpi, Gualandris and myself did some investigation some months ago, and basically it resulted that all of these three possible scenarios are not useful for explaining these ejected binary pulsars, namely the possibility that it was born just where it is now, the possibility that it was born in the core of the cluster and then ejected by a supernova explosion, by the kick of a supernova explosion, or the possibility that it was ejected as a result of a scattering encounter with, let's say, a neutron star in the core of the cluster. The ejection, on the contrary, due to an exchange interaction, for example, just with another neutron star in the cluster core, is feasible, is possible on the point of view of energetic, but it suffers of a quite low probability, or if you prefer, a very long time scale of occurrence, longer than about 20 giga years. So what resulted from these explorations of different scenarios is that the more viable explanation for the ejection of a PSRA is the presence of a more massive object at the center and the scattering, for example, with an unequal mass black hole binary whose total mass cannot overcome anyway about 100 solar masses. Choosing a orbital separation for the black hole plus black hole binary in this green area, the number are a bit small, but let's say about one astronomical unit, the survival of the black hole binary against coalescence due to the gravitational wave emission, the energy requirements for ejection of PSRA and his companion in the cluster outskirts, the eccentricity of this binary pulsar after the encounter, all of these issues are accomplished by this scenario. Moreover, the time scale of occurrence of a useful event of this kind makes this scenario by far the most probable among all the ones explored so far. Recently, we have also started examining more exotic scenarios involving four body encounters, namely binary versus binary and mergers, and it's a work in progress, but so far this remains still the most probable explanation for this ejected binary pulsar. So I have basically discussed two strangeness of this in the behavior of these millisecond pulsars in NGC 6752, each of these strangeness with its own list of different explanations. But one could wonder whether there is a unifying picture capable of accounting for both the accelerations seen in the three central millisecond pulsars and the offset position of the 2 millisecond pulses in the outskirts of the cluster. And here, this is my last slide, I review the different possibilities. If you assume the presence of a central cluster of white dwarfs, a lot of white dwarfs, that's okay for explaining the millisecond pulsar acceleration. Probably, if you choose properly the mass of these white dwarf, you can also account for the star density profile, but certainly you fail in explaining the ejection of PSRA and perhaps also PSRC. If you adopt the hypothesis of a central cluster of neutron stars, that's okay also for explaining the millisecond pulsar acceleration, can enhance the presence of a lot of neutron stars can enhance the probability of using one of these for producing ejection, and so ejection of PSRA and PSRC could probably be barely explained, but it fails in accounting for the star density profile. A single intermediate mass black hole with an upper mass of about a few hundred solar masses can explain both the acceleration of the millisecond pulsar and the star density profile, but fails in explaining the eccentricity of PSRA, which is a very, very low eccentricity. When you produce the ejection with a dynamical encounter with a massive black hole of this in this range of mass, that changes greatly the eccentricity of the system, about three orders of magnitude above what we see now, 10 to minus 2 instead than 10 to minus 5. And the time for circularizing again the system is too long for having done that after the encounter. So we are left with this last possibility of a moderate mass binary black hole, 10 plus 100, or could be 3 plus 30 solar masses, that's okay also. This is capable of accounting for ejection, as just stated. It accounts also for the star density profile, but unluckily, it cannot explain all the extra amount of low luminosity matter we have seen on the basis of the acceleration of the three inner millisecond pulsar in this cluster. In summary, from the observation of the millisecond pulsars alone, we cannot, of course, prove the existence of a single or of a binary black hole in this cluster. But certainly we can conclude that what is occurring to the millisecond pulsars in this cluster is not only puzzling, but also quite intriguing and quite unusual, as I have understood from many of them, having a proof, having an observational feature useful for picking up the presence of a black hole in a globular cluster is a difficult task. I guess that what the millisecond pulsar in this cluster are saying is that NGC 6752 is probably one of the best targets for doing such a search. That's all. Thank you. Berlin time.
Have any of these pulsars been examined for optical counterparts?
Of course, the four single one cannot probably be give you any information about that because we know the pulsar in optical cannot be got. As far as the one in the outskirts, that's quite interesting to look at that because all the pictures I have just now displayed about this scattering involve the hypothesis that the companion is a white dwarf, which is what we can get from the common parameter derived from pulsar timing of the companion. But if it should be, for example, on the contrary, a main sequence star of 0.3 solar masses, which could be compatible with what we get from pulsar timing, that would change a lot, of course, of the picture.
So just going back to your conclusions, looks like the picture you're trying to propose is a situation in which you have maybe a binary black hole plus a central concentration of neutral star or white dwarfs. Is that what
More probably white dwarf rather than neutron stars.
So what would be the evolution that gets you to that situation?
That's a good question for people trying to investigate dynamical evolution of these systems.
Would you expect other binary stars to be ejected in the same way as millisecond pulsars? And do you think that proper motions might be able to detect that?
So the time scale for ejection with the mechanism as the one we have preferred is about one event over 2 giga years. So other objects could have been ejected. But the question is that once you ejected one of these, you put it on a rather eccentric orbit, dynamical friction time is much shorter than one could state from the fact that the object is so far away from the center. And it takes more or less 1 giga years for falling back in the center. So I'm not sure that we could have the chance of seeing two contemporary of these objects ejected.
The question of a smoking gun came up earlier, and there is a smoking gun, which is we should at some point then see intermediate mass black hole pulsar binary. And ballpark estimates are that if the probability of that occurring is of order 10%. Mm-hmm. So if we're seeing one and we find more, then at some point we have to be virtually certain to find a moderately high eccentricity, hard pulsar black hole binary in globular clusters. And I think we will. A few times 10 to the 7 to 10 to the 8 years, depends on the cluster parameters. Long enough that you've got pretty good odds of seeing it.
Andrea, certainly your bottom possibility here, the binary black hole, if we learned something from our panel just previous, would be an unlikely prospect given the very large number of, or at least significant number of CVs and other compact binaries in the cluster. They would have been, I would have thought, cleaned out by this egg beater down in the middle. And the other comment is on the more conservative interpretation of the white dwarf cluster being giving rise to the acceleration. That sounds like, you know, the plausible way to solve that problem. So not being able to get the same concentration of binaries in the core that we see there directly to have kicked out these millisecond pulsars, I still don't understand why that isn't. What your major objection to that is? Is it a circularization? Is it the eccentricity problem?
This system, assuming the companion of PSRA is just a white dwarf, is
but we don't.
Has an orbital period about 20 hours, and if you need to eject it, encountering a white dwarf of 0.7 solar mass, let's say, you need to extract the energy for ejection from the binding energy of the system itself, of, let's say, the neutron star and the companion. And for doing that, you require that the orbital period of the system is about 2 hours and not 20. So if you have such a tight system, producing from that, at the end of the evolution, a wide binary, about 1 day orbit, is not that simple, or at least people doing evolutionary calculation of that kind.
But it's not an impossible outcome, or with a binary-binary interaction.
The binary-binary interaction, we are examining them, of course. The question is that for all the picture so far examined, we have obtained a probability time scale for the events longer than the one of the last picture, the picture of a binary black hole. That's the question.
We've got time for one more quick question, and then Lars is going to announce it.
They are hungry.
Okay, so, yeah, I wanted to thank the staff, it's those who I can who soon can round up for all of their efforts.
So we just give all of them a round of applause for everything. This is Sue. I think this is Sue's second conference. Is that right, Sue?
No, it's more like
your fifth. Okay. And Bree is new, and Aaron, some of you probably recognize from previous times. I also wanted to thank, of course, Doug Eardley for all of his efforts at getting all this on the web. For those of you who are here, it doesn't matter as much. But, right. Okay. And his last chance. Okay.